This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. This evening, Muslims will begin observing the month of Ramadan, and we're talking about the challenges of the pandemic and being able to carry out what are typically community practices like breaking the fast together or making extra prayers at the mosque. With us now are four guests who are involved in Muslim communities across the state. Imam Ahmed El-Amin, who is part of the Indianapolis Muslim Community Association. Maryam Qureshi, an attorney by trade and a stay-at-home mom by profession. She's also on the board of directors for the El Salam Foundation Carmel Mosque. Ibrahim El-Ghani is the vice chair for the Muslim Alliance of Indiana. And Fatima Hussein is the board president for the Muslim Alliance of Indiana. I do want to start by clarifying that some people are starting Ramadan this evening. Others may be starting on Tuesday evening. So to clear that up, Imam Ahmed, can you help us understand what Ramadan is and how the start date gets decided?
Thank you, Miriam, for having me and my colleagues. Ramadan, the declaration of Ramadan has two ways to actually to announce. The first way is sighting the moon, which is just physically inspecting the sky to see if the crescent appeared or not. The second method is by calculation, which is through a calendar. The predominant method in the Muslim world, or predominantly Muslim countries, they follow the moon sighting way. In America and the Western countries, mostly the method is calculation. I believe this year, the majority of the Muslims around the world will be starting on today, which is the first night of Ramadan, with few exceptions. Now, it has been the issue for years, and the same thing when the Eid will be, which is the holiday of breaking the fast. In America here, we have the same division, but as I mentioned, this year, I see a great level of consensus between the different Muslim communities on the starting date.
And how has the pandemic affected that in any way? Has it, you know, were people still able to go out, for example, if they wanted to do moon sighting? Was that still taking place?
So definitely that it's not an option in America because it's almost impossible to see the moon. And that is why I feel strongly about, you know, considering the calculation method. Even in countries where the light is not, or the streets are not light, it's very difficult to see it. So we will mainly focus on, you know, the news that we get from overseas or from different states in America to decide. Now, there is another alternative method, which is, you know, the moon, in according to the Islamic calendar, cannot be 31. The max, it's either 29 days or the moon cycle. It's either 29 days or 30 days. And according to the calendar that we have, today is the 30th of the month of Shaban, which is the month that precedes Ramadan. Therefore, by default, tomorrow will be the first day of Ramadan. So that's where the consensus comes, because we were able to complete the previous moon cycle as 30 days.
Mm-hmm. And full disclosure, I follow the calculation method myself, but I do miss my childhood when it was like the excitement of like, is Ramadan starting tomorrow or the day after? And you're waiting for the phone calls to come in. And it just gave a different element. I do miss that. Maryam, I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, an activity that you went and did, and you went out with your family and everyone. Is it tomorrow? Is it, what day is it exactly? Are we fasting? Or are we not fasting? So, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying.
And so, Maryam, I do want to ask you, for Ramadan, you know, what is something that you think people may not know about it? I think a lot of people think it's just a month of fasting. A lot of people might call it a holiday. Tell us a little bit about that.
So for me, and I feel like a lot of Muslims can equate to this, is like Ramadan is the time of year for you to like reset. Like you go through the year, you kind of participate in whatever activities you need to participate in. But Ramadan is that year, that month of the year where you're like, this is my month to see what my priorities are. This is my month to bring it all back in and reprioritize what is important to myself, what is important to my community, what is important to my children. And it's just such a good way to reset. It's kind of like, I want to equate it to like Lent for people who observe Lent. you kind of bring back and you don't tone down what you think you need out of your life. And it just helps like kind of pave the way for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And Ibrahim, how do you feel about Ramadan? Is that a similar feeling for you? Is that a time of reflection and resetting?
It is. It is a special month for me. And I think as the years pass, it becomes more special. I would also compare it maybe in some ways to the new year. You know, there are a lot of people in America who make resolutions. And just as they make resolutions for the new year, I make resolutions in Ramadan, things that I want to accomplish. And I try to use Ramadan as a springboard for the rest of the year. And usually at the conclusion of Ramadan, I can carry that over. Maybe sometimes two, maybe sometimes 3 weeks. But, you know, invariably, I really lose that feeling after a while. And each year I just try to improve upon that. And it's an opportunity mm-hmm. to really assess where you are in life and where you are spiritually. And that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Fatima? I'm curious, you know, what's your personal experience? Like today's the first night of Ramadan. What are you feeling?
Yeah, I personally am loving everyone's metaphors and comparisons and really relate to them. For me, it's a lot like doing a cleanse, both spiritually and, you know, materialistically. You really train yourself to let go of so many materialistic things or routines or habits that are part of your day-to-day life for the rest of the year that maybe aren't realistic to get rid of for the entire year, but it really gives you that opportunity to step back, do it for a little while and see what you learn from it and what you gain from it and how you can implement it in your life moving forward.
And Imam Ahmed, we're hearing, you know, everybody's sort of personal reflections on what Ramadan means to them. But for people that are listening and they're just like, okay, you mentioned it's kind of a cleanse, it's a reset. What are you doing in this month? Can you give us some background on that?
Yes. First, we believe that fasting is not exclusively was not exclusively imposed on the Muslims. We believe that there is no nation in the history of humanity except that they have fasted, or they had fasted at a certain point. That's why when God tells us in the Quran, I have prescribed fasting upon you, he tells us just like I have prescribed it upon those who were before you. And he mentioned clearly why he prescribed fasting. And I really like the word prescription because it seems like it's medication. And I personally, my experience with medication, it has never tested good, but it does work. And we believe fasting is a medication, spiritual medication, mental medication, and also physical medication. And God says so that you might become righteous. And righteous is a holistic world that, you know, your righteousness in your mind, in your soul, and physically. And my colleagues have touched all these parts. So what is the correlation between starvation and being righteous? You know, why God would need from us to starve in order for him to be happy? Actually, no, God doesn't become happy just because we're starving. It is a way to build our strength so that we could actually be the better people who deserve to re-enter the paradise. How does that happen? First, when we fast, you know, you have to stay away from food and drink. And even when nobody's seeing you, and that builds the concept of sincerity. You know, many times people do things or don't do things because people are watching them. But when we fast, we refrain from eating and drinking, which are normally permissible because we believe that God is watching us. And it looks like God is telling us, you know, if you can stay away from foods and drink, which are essential for you for 16 hours or so, you can stay away from immoral things. So that takes us to building willpower, which is really needed in every aspect of our lives. And of course, adding to that, the health part, because we believe, you know, the stronger you are, the better you are. Doesn't mean necessarily muscles, but at least, you know, healthy person as Muslim. So we believe that, you know, fasting actually build empathy. You know, many times we feed hungry people, but we don't know how they feel. And when you fast for 16 hours, you would appreciate the blessings that God has given you. And also, you know, you will feel the pain of those who, you know, do not have access to food. They are fasting because it's mandatory, because they don't have food. Now, and that's why we encourage people to take that empathy into action by going and helping people, you know, feeding poor people. So we hope that, you know, fasting would actually, you know, with all these three, like building, you know, willpower, sincerity, and also empathy, will make you a better person in the society. And in addition to that, it gets you closer to Almighty God, because we believe in Islam, the better servant you are, the better person you are in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm. And Maryam, when it comes to fasting, I think that's something that more people are coming to associate with Ramadan. Is there anything else that Muslims do that takes place in Ramadan that people may not be aware of?
Ramadan is not just sustaining away from food or drink or necessarily. It is also, of course, reprioritizing your life, but it's also giving back to the community and participating in charity and being mindful of your actions. And it's not necessarily, charity can be a donation of monetary wealth, or it could even be a simple act of kindness. You want to be really aware of how your reactions or actions are and how they're affecting society or your interactions at home. You try to minimize your anger. You try to refrain from things that you might not necessarily need to participate in normally, but you still do. You don't try to waste your time. This is definitely the time to be the best version of yourself and give back the best way you can. So it's kind of like a all-encompassing method, and it's definitely community aspect as well. You, before COVID, getting together in the community and having break and fast together was a big thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back with our guests after a quick break. We're talking about Ramadan and how communities in Indiana had to adapt to the pandemic during Ramadan last year. If you have questions or comments for the show, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. I'm Miriam Sobe. Back in 90 seconds, this is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. We're going to take a quick listen to a clip from Layla Matish.
So Ramadan for me typically is a month of celebration with my close family and friends, and it's just kind of a month to get a lot closer to my religion. And COVID just made it a lot more difficult because I wasn't able to go to the mosque and to see people. And a big part of Ramadan is just when you're around people who are getting a lot closer to their religion, it just kind of encourages you to do the same as well. So it being during COVID and us being, you know, in quarantine during this time kind of helped me in my own like self growth, and just it helped me focus on getting closer to my religion by myself.
And that was Layla Matish talking about her experience observing Ramadan during the COVID pandemic of last year. And I know we kind of delved into that a little bit in our first segment here. I do want to hear, you know, how did COVID last year impact the way all of you were observing Ramadan? What was that like? Fatima, give us some insight on what your experience was like last year.
Yeah, it's been... Well, it's really hard to describe in a nutshell, but because for me growing up, Ramadan was so much about community, whether we're fasting together, breaking fast together, coming together for charity events, or just, you know, being able to lean on each other and support each other through the difficult long days, COVID halted all of that right in its steps. And it really gave us a chance to, you know, sit and think about what Ramadan means to us when it's just us at home with our thoughts and our, you know, our worship and our family, if you're, you know, lucky to be living with other people. But it was an amazing time to reflect on what Ramadan means when you take that sort of public or community side of it away.
For me personally, it was really spiritual and it was really fulfilling. I know that may not have been the case for everybody, especially if you're in isolation or if you're impacted by COVID through illness or working really hard on the front lines as an essential worker. I know that it wasn't the same experience for all Muslims in Indiana or even around the world. But for me, it was really special just being at home and having all of that stripped away and just being kind of, you know, left with my thoughts and my spirituality and my worship and what that meant to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can say it was definitely different last year from my own personal experience. Like you mentioned, just having that time to focus. So it was like, you know, I feel like a lot of people, you know, non-Muslims, we're talking about being able to focus more during this pandemic, finding what's important. And then, like, for Muslims, there was the added layer of, like, Ramadan started right after the lockdown. And I think a lot of people were panicking, like, oh, my gosh, all my dinner plans. What am I going to do? But I'm curious, Ibrahim, how was it like for you last year?
It was both. There were good dimensions to it, and there was dimensions that I really miss, having the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood. You know, in some ways it was stripped down to its most basic element, you know. I think in most Ramadans, you know, I try to limit my interaction with people other than when I'm in a breakfast setting or going to the mosque, just because I think it makes, the more interaction you have with people, the more difficult your fast is. Once you get, you know, this understanding of what this Ramadan is really like, I think, except for those times when you need to congregate, such as during prayer or breaking fast. And I just think that it limited that interaction with people. But at the same time, I didn't have the evening prayers at the mosque, which really do a good job of motivating you to continue and to progress through the rest of the Ramadan. So I missed the motivation element of being around people who are observing similar Ramadans, but I also like the solitude element where, you know, you're by yourself and it's just you and God.
Mm-hmm. And Ramadan can take a very social atmosphere, I think, you know, in some communities where it's meeting up with folks to break your fast in the evenings, and it turns into like a month-long feast, so to speak, after you break your fast. So do any of you feel that the pandemic sort of helped reset, like, what Ramadan is away from all of that, Maryam?
Absolutely. I actually had a really positive Ramadan last year. I have four little ones, and so we were virtual homeschooling, and I had, if not one of the best, probably the best Ramadans I've had in, I don't know, a while, because everyone got really creative about what to do, at least from like a mom perspective or a sister perspective, or even just congregating. We started doing virtual iftar Zooms, which was means we all got on Zoom, opened our fasts together. We got creative in sending meals to each other. I participated in a lot of evening events with our kids or by myself, to do reflection or things that I necessarily would go out and do at the mosque. But since I've kind of been hindered with having little ones and not being able to go out and stay out as late, I was able to do that in the home, in my home environment. And it was very, very comforting. And our kids got really creative as well in terms of what kind of activities they wanted to do. And people got really, really creative. It was, for me, a really good experience. Yes, we did miss the aspect of going to the mosque, and we also missed the aspect of even seeing face-to-face our family and our community and our friends. But spiritually, personally, I really enjoyed it.
And Imam Ahmed, Maryam mentioned some of these changes that had to be made, doing things virtually. Did you see any innovations and ways for people to connect? For example, like, there's the nightly prayers, the extra prayers that Muslims do in Ramadan. How were they able to do that? And did it take place virtually?
So yeah, what the pandemic did is just stripping the faith communities from very essential tool. During difficult time, it's known that faith communities come together and bond with one another. And what the pandemic did is just taking that away from us. But we believe in Islam that, you know, God will never put burden on us more than what we carry. So immediately, almost, we started seeing alternative ways, actually, to serve the community. And honestly, I really think the pandemic restored the natural role of the mosques. Mosques are historically known to be a service-based mosque. And unfortunately, in modern life, the mosques were reduced to only prayer. So I tell people, you know, God made, you know, this pandemic, and he actually decreed for the mosques to be shut down so that you can go and explore the big part of Islam, which is probably more than 80%. And that's why we actually transferred most of our resources into serving the community, both on the ground, you know, trying to meet people, even if it's social distancing. As far as the programming concerned, of course, we could not meet in the mosque, so we went for virtual programming. We use heavily social media platforms and Zoom. And actually, we were even more active in educational programs post-COVID or during the lockdown, more than the way we were before that. So I really think, you know, I wanted to echo Mariam that, you know, I really consider it one of the best Ramadans in a way. Now, we are still benefiting from the alternatives we suggested or we used now that we are going back to the mosques. Of course, half of the Ramadan, I was infected myself with COVID. So I did not know what happened in the second half. But the first half, I really think it was really, really a good experience. And it was an opportunity for us to explore the service-based Islam. And of course, the togetherness, you know, we couldn't do it, which is, you know, praying together that Ibrahim Al-Ghani was mentioning. But it is actually recommended in Islam, you know, to pray at home with your family. And I know brotherhood is really good and sisterhood is really good. We can do both, but we believe that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he started praying together for 2 days or 3 days. And then after that, he prayed the rest of his Ramadan with his family. So I always tell people, this is an opportunity for you to strengthen the bond with your family. And I was surprised, you know, how much, you know, relationship improved by actually praying together, breaking your fast together. But at the same time, working with law enforcement, I've seen domestic violence was increasing. And that's a sad part of, you know, of the pandemic.
Well, Fatima, what was it like with the Muslim Alliance of Indiana adapting to the pandemic last year? What were you guys able to do?
So we rely a lot on the community coming together, not just, you know, for that motivation aspect, but as a nonprofit in the community. We rely on fundraising. We rely on the support from the community to help us keep going throughout the year. So for a lot of, you know, Muslim nonprofits, especially during COVID, we took a huge hit in terms of, you know, bringing the community together in order to support us. But I will say, like Mariam said, everyone got really creative last year and organizations and charities had to do the same thing. We were able to bring our communities together for virtual events. We were able to also kind of step back and, you know, as a statewide organization, we were able to kind of elevate the local mosques and their activities and help share those so that people who, you know, previously may not have been able to access those events just because of distance and time and proximity are now able to join from all over the state. And so we really kind of served as a platform to help connect Muslims with each other throughout the state while hosting some of our own really cool virtual events that we hope to continue doing this year also.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned the access part because I was thinking about that. Any of you heard from Muslim community members who may be alone and not have a family with them, and maybe this was the first Ramadan where they felt like they actually were part of something because there was a virtual sort of community. So I don't know, Fatima, if you heard from anybody about that.
Yeah, one of the great things about being a statewide organization is we hear from a lot of community members just all over, whether they just recently moved to the state or, you know, they recently found that connection to their faith and the community. So we definitely received a lot of messages from people throughout the state, you know, just grateful for the opportunity to connect with different communities throughout the state that they may not have been able to before. And a lot of requests from people to continue this moving forward, just because COVID hopefully, you know, will be over soon, but the lack of access and the issues with access will probably continue for a long time. It's definitely been really, really beneficial for us and for the community to have these virtual events and starting looking at incorporating them moving forward.
Ibrahim, what was your experience like with these virtual events? Were you taking part? Did you enjoy them?
I tried to participate as much as I could. It's a little weird. I think that, you know, your first question, you know, kind of talked about what we observed during Ramadan. And the second question was kind of like how COVID impacted that. And if you don't mind, I would like to share. I actually didn't think last Ramadan, even the virtual part, I don't think it was one of my better Ramadans. But I thought the previous year was one of my better Ramadans. And I think if I wrote a little bit about what the previous year meant to me. And I think if I share it, you can kind of understand like how COVID impacted that. So if you don't mind, I would like to share that.
Sure. Let's hear what you have.
Okay. So this year was the previous year, not last year, but the year prior to that was 29 days. So I talk about what I did in the 29 days. This year, Ramadan lasted 29 days rather than 30. For those 29 days, I abstained from food and water for 16 hours a day. For 29 days, I had little concern what others thought of me. For 29 days, my spiritual body was enriched, even though my physical body was weakened. For 29 days, I witnessed true brotherhood and sisterhood. For 29 days, I found sanctuary in the mosque. For 29 days, I sought the mercy of my Lord, the forgiveness of my Lord, and the reward of my Lord. For 29 days, my tongue, ears, eyes, and desires fasted as well. I tried valiantly to limit my speech, avoid negative talk, music, and looking at sites inconsistent with my fast. For 29 days, I attempted to accumulate small acts of charity, such as smiling, giving greetings of peace, providing good advice, helping others, and visiting the sick. For 29 days, I competed in matters of religion. For 29 days, I prayed for my soul and the soul of others. For 29 days, the gates of heaven were open and the gates of hell were closed. For 29 days, my heart was softened. For 29 days, I debated whether to sleep or pray in the early hours of the morning. For 29 days, I trained myself for the other 336 days.
Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, it's definitely showing that was the year that you really had some, I'm trying to find the words to say it, but you mentioned that 2019 was the year that you really felt the connection versus last year due to so much going on with the pandemic. I want to ask, Miriam, did you find anything difficult about participating in Ramadan last year? I mean, I know you said it was a lot easier with some of the virtual things.
I mean, yes, in the sense where my biggest test, well, amongst others, was maintaining my fast during the actual day. And it's not, again, like I said before, not the food or drink component. It was the patience component, I think, because we were all home, except for my husband. He was an essential worker or is an essential worker. So he was out of the house quite a bit, but my children were all home. So it was a test in that regard of like, how do I maintain my prayer on time or my patience when my kids are always with me and we're trying to get on, like, you know, first world problems, right? Our next meeting or our next assignment needs to be uploaded or getting one kid situated for something. And that was where, I guess, like my biggest little challenges were in keeping the stamina to do that for, you know, 30 days, just like every other person, I think, who had to deal with having kids at home, doing some sort of virtual learning or not even virtual learning, but having fasting on top of that was just kind of strenuous. And, but it was good. It was a good lesson to see what you were fully capable of doing. So yeah, that was kind of interesting.
All right. Well, we'll be back after a quick break. We're talking with leaders of local Muslim communities about Ramadan and how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted the month's traditions. If you have questions or comments for our guests today, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. Or you can send us a voice message without making a call by using our smartphone app. It's called All in Vox Pop. It's free and easy to use. Just search for All in Vox Pop on your phone's app store. I'm Miriam Sobe. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Miriam Sobe. Back now to our discussion on Ramadan during the COVID pandemic. We're going to take a look now at how people are planning on celebrating Ramadan this year. And as always, we'd love to hear your questions and comments. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana. All right. So we talked a little bit about last year and how things went. I know we haven't started Ramadan just yet, but what is everyone planning to do differently this year, or maybe the same? Ibrahim, what is your family planning to do for Ramadan this year?
Thank you for the question. This year, as in prior years, we still have young kids at home, and we just plan to observe Ramadan as a family. And my wife does an excellent job of making it a festive environment. I mean, she has decorated the house, and living in America and being in a minority religion, you know, these type of things are really appreciated, you know, and we try to make it a very positive environment for the children. I personally have goals that I have, you know, I want to complete the fast 29 or 30 days, whatever it is. You know, I want to read the Quran during and complete the Quran during the month of Ramadan. I want to continue to do good acts and acts of charity. But as a family, we really want to just become closer during this month.
And I do have to say, you mentioned something about decorations. Full confession here. Last night at like midnight, I'm trying to Google Ramadan decorations because my kids are like, are we going to decorate this year? I'm like, oh, my gosh, this was not how it was when I was a kid. It was much simpler times. Fatima, how about you? Are you decorating and getting ready?
Oh, I went the whole nine yards decorating last year. I don't have kids in my house, so I did it for myself. But yeah, definitely. I mean, you're at home all day 24/7. So why not make the experience a little bit more festive? We had, you know, we turned our daily iftar meals into, you know, something somewhat of a celebration as if we're getting together with our community, and displayed everything really nicely. We had lights and banners. So whether my family liked it or not, I'm planning on doing it all over again this year.
Yeah. I mean, things have kind of changed, I think, for American Muslims. Miriam, have you seen a change in the way, you know, it's just a lot more commercialized in some aspects. You can actually find things.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely been a conversation amongst like a lot of social media platforms about, is the focus to decorate, or are we losing the steam of Ramadan by, you know, buying all these decorations and decorating the house? And I'm going to say, in my opinion, the simple answer is no. I think we really need to find creative tools to engage, whether it be motivating ourselves or making our families feel happy, or even showing our kids that this is a month to be celebrated. And like every Ramadan, you leave Ramadan with the simple prayer of, God, let me make it to the next Ramadan. There's something so special that we should allow our kids to celebrate. We should allow ourselves to celebrate. It is a beautiful, beautiful month. And whether or not you observe it or not, it's just the blessings are abundant.
Mm-hmm. And Imam Ahmed, what are your thoughts for this year's Ramadan? Any sort of special things that you're doing or your mosque is doing?
So in 2019, we never knew Ramadan 2020 would be that way. And that is why we are going to make the most out of Ramadan 2021, because we cannot take 2022 for granted. And that's why, you know, my message to the community, in your special way, in the safest way, please do your best. At the mosque and the community level, we're grateful that the vaccine is out, and we are encouraging people to take the vaccine in order to restore normalcy. And that's probably the easiest or the most effective way. But now we are still in not full physical mode. That's why we introduced a hybrid mode where there are some activities that will take place in the mosque and other activities are online. For instance, almost all the lectures, workshops will be online. because of accessibility, and we saw the benefit of that. Normally, when we do or we conduct these educational sessions in mosque, we barely get 5, maybe maximum 10 people. But now online, you know, when we combine all the platforms, we get about 50 people or more. So it is more effective. Now, as far as the, you know, normally the tradition is breaking the fast in the mosque. We invite, you know, it's open for the entire community. That will not be an option this year. And that's why we will do drive-through iftar. So we will have prepackaged food where at 7 p.m. we encourage people to come to stop by and get their iftar or breakfast. As far as the prayer is concerned, we will resume the prayer in the mosque. We have been facing difficulty convincing people to social distance, wearing their face mask and so forth. And at the same time, we wanted to accommodate the needs of, you know, various demographic in the community. So what we will be doing, we will restart the prayer in the mosque. We encourage social distancing and we encourage wearing face masks. And also, we will shorten the prayers. Instead of an hour and a half, we will reduce it to 40 minutes or 45 minutes so that we will limit the exposure of people if there is any type of or infection in the mosque. So we are hoping mm-hmm. that, you know, this way we could cater to different, type people in the community.
So it sounds like COVID has kind of forced Muslim communities to rethink the way things are being done and come up with new ways that may last beyond the pandemic.
This is one of the positive things. We can praise the pandemic, but we believe in Islam. You know, God said in the Quran, you might dislike something, but it is good for you. Our heart goes out for all the families who lost their loved one or anyone who is impacted. But at the same time, we are grateful to God that, you know, He gave us this opportunity, you know, the virtual opportunity. And also, you know, I would like to thank MAI, Muslim Alliance of Indiana, for taking the leadership in bringing the Muslims together during the pandemic through several activities. So I really think the level of the collaboration between the Muslim community, different entities and organizations have increased, you know, during the pandemic. So we will be continuing this collaboration. And we'll be using a lot of creativities that Maria mentioned that we learned during the pandemic for years to come.
Mm-hmm. And Maryam, speaking of changes in the way that Muslims are doing things for Ramadan, are you doing anything differently this year that you think will become, I guess, a new tradition for your family?
I definitely think we'll sit down more and spend more time to reflect on what our goals are. I think we kind of would get caught up in the beginning of Ramadan and say, these are our goals, and then kind of lose them in the muster of being busy with being at the mosque at a certain time or meeting people at a certain time or whatever the case is. I think there's a lot more time and opportunity that I would like to incorporate with our family, a lot more reflection, and also even asking my friends and my family, what are you doing to increase your worship or your modification to, you know, COVID Ramadan. What I'd like mm-hmm. to do is increase more reflection time and making sure I'm hitting those goals.
Right. And speaking of goals, Ibrahim, you compared Ramadan to the new year and having goals and resolutions. Are there any goals you have set for this year that you don't mind sharing with us?
Yeah, I do have certainly goals. You know, in fact, I'm more likely to make goals for Ramadan than I am for the new year. You know, I talked about a few of them. You know, I pray to God that He allows me to complete the full Ramadan and many more after that. I want to finish the Quran because the Quran was revealed. The Holy Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. So it's very significant to read it for all Muslims and to try to finish it. Finish it in English. And I'm going to try to do as much as I can in Arabic. I'm slower in Arabic. But so we read for not just to read, but also for understanding. I want to, make it as joyful and as exciting and as rewarding for my kids as I can. So we incentivize everything. You make 10 days. My kids are not quite at puberty, but they're almost there. So we incentivize everything they do. If they make 10 days, if they make 20 days, if they fast the whole Ramadan, we incentivize it. Every day we have treats for them after each day. And we get the food that they want to have when they break their fast. It's very important that we create an environment in our household in which the kids look forward to Ramadan and that they enjoy Ramadan. Mm-hmm. So those are basically our goals, you know, and I just want to take advantage of this remarkable month when the reward of God is so immense. And in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ramadan is a blessed month that has come to you, whose fasting God has made obligatory for you, in which the gates of heaven are open and the gates of hell are closed, and the rebellious devils are chained up. Allah has it, or God has in it, a night which is better than 1,000 months, and whoever is deprived of it certainly has been deprived. So my goal is to take advantage of the rewards of this month.
Well, thank you for sharing your goals. And Fatima, what are things that Muslim Alliance is doing this Ramadan? Any activities or events?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So like Imam Ahmed said, in 2019, we didn't know that the 2020 Ramadan was going to be in the midst of a pandemic. So we didn't get a chance to really plan ahead for it. But this year, we want to make sure, you know, having been through the experience of last year's COVID Ramadan, we've reflected a lot on finding and creating that community aspect again, while, you know, allowing people to still remain socially distant as vaccines slowly roll out. So we're looking forward to hosting a fastathon in which both Muslims and our friends and neighbors can participate and support each other. And we're going to wrap it up with a virtual event. We're still working out some of the details, so I'm just going to tease it a little bit here, but we'll be posting more information about it later. And we're also looking on getting local, either Muslim-owned organizations or just local restaurants to participate in dine-out days so people can pick up iftar while at the same time supporting MAI and supporting the community. So again, like Mariam said, we're looking at ways to be creative this year, having had last year's experience, and really kind of looking forward to bridging that community gap that everybody felt last year, and just having an exciting activity for all of us to look forward to this year.
Mm-hmm. And Mariam, I want to talk to you a little bit about, there seems to be a little bit of a misconception sometimes. People think Ramadan is a month-long holiday or celebration, but there's actually a holiday that comes after Ramadan. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So yes, Muslims at the end of Ramadan celebrate Eid al-Fitr. It is our holiday to celebrate the end of the completion of the month of fasting. And we start, again, it's a very community-based holiday or family-based holiday where we start off in a congregation, whether it be at the mosque or a forum that can hold enough people, and we have our prayers along with the sermon, and everyone is in just the best joyous mood, giving everyone well wishes and greetings. My parents always told me when I was growing up that Eid is for the kids, and I genuinely believe that, because that's when they are showered with love and happiness and attention and treats and like spoiled like beyond a birthday or any other kind of celebration that they could possibly imagine. And from there you go house hopping, generally again in the pre-COVID world. Last year we modified it and did a socially distanced Kona truck ice in a parking lot of a park, and that worked out wonderfully, and the kids thought it was like the best day ever. And we'll see what happens this year, but it's a lot of celebration and together. It's just about the community and giving back and being with the family. So it's a great time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Fatima, what is the celebration after Ramadan, the celebration of Eid mean to you, and what are you going to be doing this year?
It's very similar to Mariam's experience. And I think a lot of people's experience, Eid is really just the day that you party in whatever ways you can. you know, whether it's just at home with your own family, or just taking a breather, eating a lot of food, or, you know, if you have a lot of friends and community around. I personally do attend a lot of people's Eid open houses, as we call them, where we just kind of house hop and go to each other's houses and talk about, you know, what a difficult and fulfilling Ramadan we just had. Last year, obviously, it was very different. We were at home. We were, you know, lucky enough to be together as a family inside the home and be able to celebrate Eid together. We got each other presents and just kind of, you know, had a meal together and celebrated a low-key Eid. It's really hard to say what the plans for this year's Eid will be, but I do plan on trying to attend prayers at my local mosque in Plainfield as regularly as I can. They do have some, you know, COVID safety precautions set and trying to make it safe. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, if the mosque and the community is able to plan something that is going to be COVID friendly and socially distant for Eid. But if not, I think the experience at home with my family was also pretty fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. And as we get ready to wrap up here, I want to ask you, Imam Ahmed, do you have any plans in case, let's say, there's a surge and things have to be shut down again? Is there a backup plan for people for either Ramadan or even Eid?
Miriam, I guess you probably should be part of our planning team because we never thought about that. We don't have it, but we are committed 100% to follow the guidelines of CDC and also our local health authorities. Should there be any new emergence, we will be willing to change things very quick. We are hoping that nothing would happen. The condition will get better. If so, Ramadan is a month of prayer, so we pray to do so, for that to happen. But we are hoping that, you know, we can have a unified aid between a few mosques here, a local mosque in Indianapolis, where they will get together. And I would like to break this to MAI on your show, that we are hoping that MAI will eventually take the leadership of unifying the Muslim community. So hopefully most of the mosques can come together and celebrate Eid together. And our plan is to work with a few mosques and have Eid prayer. The best thing, the best part of being imam on the Eid day is being able to experience different cultures. You know, America is unique. The Muslim community is very diverse. They're not homogenous. So I will get to see families from different parts of the world, how they celebrate, and I get invited to witness. So what I normally do, give an hour for each traditional culture to experience, just literally like experiencing it in different parts of the world.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure to have you on. I want to thank all our guests for taking the time. Imam Ahmed El-Amin, Maryam Qureshi, Ibrahim El-Ghani, and Fatima Hussein. Our producers are Drew Dodlin, Micah Yasin, and Tim Brooks. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme song. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us tomorrow for a show on misinformation spread on social media and the news. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Maryam. So thanks for listening. This is All In.